This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today is a really special show. I am still out of town, so it's a pre-recorded show. But my guest, well, what can I say about my guest except Joni Blank is a legend. Since 1971, she's lived in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she was in the very first group of volunteers at the now famous San Francisco Sex Information. After that, she trained and worked in the sex counseling program at UCSF for several years. But what she's probably best known for in our world is she is the founder of Good Vibrations, which opened its doors in 1977. And for those of you who don't know, Good Vibrations has been a sponsor of this show, an avid supporter of the show, and is considered the model for the original clean, well-lit, feminist, sex-positive sex toy store, the kind that you see now all over the country. Well, they didn't used to be there. In 1992, Joni converted Good Vibrations and the publishing arm, Down There Press, into a worker cooperative. So at the time, there were 14 owners, including Joni in her new status as an equal owner. Joni is also a Jewish Unitarian Universalist and sings in the choir at the First Unitarian Church of Oakland, her home church. And early in 2008, the Institute for the Advanced Study of Human Sexuality granted her an honorary Doctor of Arts degree for her more than 30 years of work in the sex field. That same year, she was designated a champion of the movement by the Co-Housing Association of the United States, and they recognized her for 15 years of leadership and vision. Just a few weeks ago, in late June, which is just last month, Joni was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and doctors have given her a prognosis of, well, she probably only has about 5 months left on in this world, on this plane. We are recording this episode on July 5th, which is actually the day after her 79th birthday. And I just feel really honored and privileged to do this interview with the legendary Joni Blank. Welcome to Sex Out Loud.
Hi, Tristan. My goodness, I have never had an introduction like that in my whole life. I guess
it's all true.
Every fact was correct. Every fact was correct.
There you go. I want to make this as like conversational and as informal as possible, but you've done so many things. So I'm going to try to sort of like toe the line between it being informal and then you hitting some key points of key things that you've done. I guess I kind of want to start at Oberlin because I actually didn't know that you went to Oberlin. And Oberlin, you know, has this reputation of being this really progressive place, super queer, super lefty. Was it like that when you were there?
No, it was not. You know, Oberlin College, first of all, thank you, Tristan, for that great introduction. Oberlin College used to have a Christian seminary there. The only graduate program they had. They had a college and the Conservatory of Arts, for which they're also famous, and the College of Liberal Arts. And then there was a Oberlin Seminary that trained ministers in, I don't remember which denomination. So It had some of that sort of underlying, you know, hard works makes good Christians who go to heaven kind of thing. So it has some of that kind of Midwestern ethic around it. And applied in academic institutions, it means everybody's supposed to get all A's all the time. Very high pressure academic. I did not do great there, grades wise. But certainly, I have heard over the years. I mean, my most recent reunion I attended was my 55th. Things are far than that. But during some of the years of the starting in the 70s and 80s, it did become known out there in the world as one of the most queer-friendly universities around. And I heard a rumor that one of their admissions directors got fired because he was letting too many gay men and lesbians in. And they've also had a big trans celebration forever and ever. And they're the organizations that are concerned with sexuality and some other sort of related organizations. Basically, they're, you know, doing queer politics of various kinds, have all kinds of events and very open about sexuality. And as far as I can tell, many of the students who are not queer are comfortable with it. It's part of their community, and there are a few who are probably pissed off.
Well, then they went
to
the wrong school.
Not being that way, having to hang around with all those weird people.
So you made your way eventually in 1971, 45 years ago, mm-hmm. to the San Francisco Bay Area. And mm-hmm. did you say, I'm going to San Francisco, it's the beginning of the 70s, I'm going to open a sex shop?
Nope. I have a graduate degree in health education, and I always wanted to work in family planning. And I wanted to work in family planning for the right reasons. Why is it nobody in any culture, in any of any age, of any degree of wealth, should have to have babies if they don't want to? So this was in the days when we really thought we could control population by giving people a lot of education, and it did work for some. But anyway, the program, and plus I was interested in international affairs. After I went to public health school, I went to Hawaii, and I got another master's degree in Asian studies. So my thought was I'd go to the third world somewhere and do some helpful stuff in relation to family planning programs. But it was right around that time, starting to be the mid-60s, when they were putting all kinds of rules on family planning programs in so-called developing countries, because they would like pay the men to get them sterilized, and they would, in a few cases, I understand, they tied the vasectomy program to the Food for Peace program. Like, we can't give you this food aid unless you get your men vaccinated. It sounded pretty yucky, and so I didn't really want to be. At the same time, it came along the idea, hey, women being able to control their own bodies and control the number of babies that they had make is a huge social shift, because it means women can be in the workforce predominantly as much or almost as much as men can. And that changed family dynamics, and that changed men's and women's understanding of feminism, whether they liked it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So all that stuff was happening at the same time.
And so how did you get from family planning, although obviously it's related, to vibrators?
Oh, that was an easy one. I think you mentioned that I worked at San Francisco Sex Information, and I was very close to Maggie Rubenstein and Tony Ayers and, I've forgotten the name of the third woman, the three women who basically started San Francisco Sex Information. And I was interested in family planning, and I was interested in sex ed, I suppose, at some level. But I wasn't working actively in the sex field then, but that was when I realized that, you know, one of the reasons these women that in the family planning clinics that I remembered being involved with were having a really hard time with their contraception was because they were so uncomfortable with their genitals and dealing with them, and also decision-making about, you know, what is my husband going to think if I say yes or no, and all that, you know, kind of stuff. So I had the relational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was all brewing in a great big pot in those days. So it was an easy switch for me to say, everybody's got to be more comfortable with their sexuality if we're all going to be happy.
Okay, so that's...
is just a piece of it.
I get that switch, but then how do you go from that to, I'm going to start my own business as a kind of business that no one else is running?
It's also connected with San Francisco sex information, by the way. So Tony Ayers and others of us were at the sex counseling program at this time, and we were all learning the method of working with non-orgasmic women, and we used to call them non-orgasmic, pre-orgasmic women, and help teach, basically teaching them how to have orgasms. Not in the flesh, but, you know, they did with homework, and they would come back and talk to the group. And that's, all three of us were involved in that, and that whole program. And Tony and I got fired from the, fired isn't quite the word, laid off from the sex counseling program because of an administrative thing. They decided to make that program, the sex counseling program at UCSF, part of the psychiatry department. And neither of us had PhDs in anything. So we basically got shoved aside, and we were standing outside. The women learning how to have orgasm does have a connection with this, obviously, because in those groups, we didn't typically start women with vibrators. We actually waited until they were having really, really hard trouble getting aroused with just their hand. Mm-hmm. And then near the very end of the group, we would suggest they try vibrators, okay? And some of them. Not many of them never did, wanted to, or did. And Tony and I were saying, we're telling these people that they should go a vibrator and they should go a plug-in electric vibrator, but some of them are going to go to the sex shops and they're going to make fun of them and do terrible things to them and make them very uncomfortable. So Tony and I were standing on the sidewalk one day and we said, hey, Tony. I said, hey, Tony, why don't you start a little shop? Sort of based on what Eve's Garden had already started to do in New York, which was just mail order. Pretty much through its entire life, it's mostly mail order, although they did have a shop. It was pretty inaccessible. And Tony said, because I don't want to, why don't you do it? So I did. Sounded like fun.
Okay, we've got to take a commercial break. You make it all sound like you're sort of fun. Like skipping through the streets of San Francisco and just like, you know, with vibrators like in a backpack or something. Okay,
no,
but it really turned into
storefront.
Something pretty huge. So we've got to figure out how it got to there from here or from here to there. Let's take a commercial break and hear from our fantastic sponsor, The Pleasure Chest. And when we come back, more with Joni Blank. Latex gloves, leather cuffs, nipple clamps. Some things are just better in twos. That's why the Pleasure Chest is celebrating the power of two with their annual BOGO sale. Buy one, get one half off on all vibrating toys. Maybe you're dying to try the new rechargeable magic wand, but also want something travel-sized. Maybe you and your BFF are in the market for new vibes. Or maybe you want to explore a new kind of sensation for half the price. Any way you slice it, two is better than one. So don't agonize over buzzy versus rumbly, rabbit versus slimline, or internal versus external. Get a taste of everything with the Pleasure Chest's only sale of the year in each of their stores nationwide for the whole month of July. Not able to make it to one of their locations in New York, LA, or Chicago? PleasureChest.com is offering free shipping all month long on every order. You can also use the code Tristan at checkout year-round for a free massage candle with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking with the founder of the famed store Good Vibrations, Joni Blank. And I want to let you know about what's going on at the Pleasure Chest, my great sponsor and also another great sex positive sex toy store. You know, they have free classes every week nationwide in all their stores. And coming up next week, Wednesday, July 27th in Chicago, it's OMG Spot with Antoinette. In Los Angeles, it's Advanced G-Spot with Sarah. And in New York, it's Sex Toys 101, Make Life Sexier with Greer and Aaliyah. And then in New York, later that week, the 28th and 29th, La Milani is going to be teaching, who's a former International Ms. Leather title holder. On Thursday, it'll be Ergonomic Roughhousing. And on Friday, it'll be The Energy of Rope Play. And you can go to pleasurechest.com and find out more about all those classes. But the thing you have to know is that they're free and open to everyone. Okay, so before the break, Joni, you started to tell the story that was just so like straightforward, like, oh, you know, we talked about opening a vibrator store, and then I said, okay, I'll do it. But I can't imagine it went that easily for you, given that, like you said, there was probably one other store in the country like it, and it mostly did mail order business. Where did you buy your vibrators from? How did you find salespeople? What did Susie Bright end up doing there? You know, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I didn't file salespeople at the beginning. I did it all by myself. Found a little place about 125 square feet, tiny little sort of garage size room. It was a bit nice Victorian building with about 20 apartments on the second and third floors and garages on the first floor originally, which had turned into, they looked like garages that had been turned into little shops, but they may have been designed as commercial spaces anyway. That was the first store, $125 a month in a nice neighborhood in San Francisco. Imagine.
Imagine. You can't rent a garbage pail for that
now. I ended up opening up the other side and getting into the next one, same sort of mirror image shape as that one. So we ended up with two spaces, still only 125 each. And we never had to put the wall back when we left.
And how did people find out that there was a vibrator store and that they better get their butt there?
This is San Francisco, 1977. Vibrators, I'll check it out. It was very slow, is the answer to your question, because I didn't believe in advertising very much. It was sort of, you know, let's push the word of mouth, and I could advertise little things like what we were, where our day, you know, where our market, where our store was, what hours we were open, and that was basically all I would put in the ads. You know, maybe a 6-word description of what we were, because I didn't believe in, you know, 20% off for grand opening day. I'm like, anyway, I've never wanted to do any of that commercial stuff, which is one reason I'm not a business person anymore.
Which is ironic because it's this huge thriving business now that you created.
Yep. I ended up with very little of it because of my own decisions I made based on principles, which weren't paying much attention to the fact that in 20 or 30 years there would be this thing called inflation, and then there would be this housing boom, and that everybody would lose everything. And so when I converted the business into a cooperative, I didn't charge nearly enough for it. So
in the 90s, you converted it into a co-op. And so what was the reason behind that? I mean, was that your vision all along?
Well, first I'll tell you what I would say to my friends who sort of understood. I would tell them the simple thing, which was, I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. Now, to people who don't run their businesses that way, it sounds like a not very backhanded slap at them for doing the business the way they do it. Mm-hmm. But I became interested in cooperative stuff way back when I was a student in the student co-op at Oberlin. By the way, one of the sort of centers of student co-op world has been in Oberlin for decades. I mean, I think it isn't anymore, but it was for a long time. But this is at the very beginning. So it just didn't make sense to me that human beings so easily forget that we are social animals, and the individual is uber alles over all. And that's what we put all that together in one bag and call it capitalism. So I was kind of an anti-capitalist from the beginning. So a good start would be to have everybody be an equal owner of the business. So we collectively, I individually sold it to us collectively. That's the way you do it, to start a co-op. And I set a very low price so that we didn't have to pay me too much in a row. It was structured as a, this was actually beneficial for both of us. It was structured as a 20-year note with interest. So I started out really small so nobody would be too worried, even lower than the interest rate on the amortized loan, and then eventually start paying down on the principal. And after 15 years, Good Vibrations itself ran into some trouble because that was a big, huge slump. So they were bought out by someone who paid me off the rest of what they owed me, and I loaned it to Babeland.
Okay, so you, when you were bought out, was it still worker-owned? Because at some point...
No, that's what made it worker-owned. After.
Okay, so but when you were bought out and when you left, then it became capitalist again.
No, it stayed a worker co-op for 15 years. I'm so proud of it, even though I wasn't there. It only stopped being a co-op I've got the years mixed up a little bit, but 7 or 8 years ago. And the reason they had to stop being a co-op then is because the rules of the cooperative, our cooperative, the way it was written initially, did not allow for outside investors. What it did was it allowed the business to take loans and lines of credit, but not have outside investors who actually own part of the company. Since for that reason, they had to dissolve this co-op and turn it into a conventional corporation.
That was in 2006 happened.
Thank you. 10 years it's been now. My.
And what did you think when that happened? Because you set it up in this very particular way, and it kind of was your baby from the beginning. And so it had now grown up into something maybe you didn't expect it to. What does that feel like?
Good question. When my daughter was about 9 years old, this doesn't sound related, I decided that for most families and most situations, or even just single parents with kids, a family, a single parent and a single child, like that counts as a family, that pretty much when your kid is somewhere between 9 and 10 years old, they've just about learned everything, all the good stuff they're going to learn from you, the stuff that's going to help them be grown-ups. They may not be skilled at because they haven't done it very long, but the value is in the right places. And for after that point, your main job with your kid is to let go of them. Really hard. Really, really hard. I may be wrong with some children, it wouldn't work that way, but I think that's what I had to decide to do with my kid because, yeah, there wasn't any alternative to have her still be my kid if I didn't. And she's been through some very, very rough times, but she is doing absolutely phenomenally now. Anyway.
And do you feel the same about Good Vibes?
If I were still in charge at Good Vibes, it would be a store that would have a lot of the sort of feel and look that I would have started. Mm-hmm. Maybe upgraded a little bit because that was super funky. there are now dozens and dozens of vibrators and toys and Good Vibrations that cost well over $100. I would have a selected few of those and many more that more people could afford. And I think one of the coolest things I could do would be to, nobody listens to me anymore, of course, but they haven't for many years, is have a, sell some, Hitachi Magic Wand is still everybody's favorite vibrator. even all these new ones are coming up. Other people have favorites too. I'm exaggerating, of course.
No, but it's still the bestseller at most stores. Yeah. The magic wand. It's been around
really,
a million
really
years.
Cool to do to show everybody that we're sick and tired of people not even ever able, being able to buy a Hitachi because it costs $50. That we should sell. They should sell them at cost. You know, including shipping and stuff. So whatever they pay for them, we each buy each. $25, sell them for $28 or something. Wouldn't that be cool?
Wow.
That's the way I am. Bothers me that people can't get a vibrator. I mean, most people would save up money for it because it is something that's long-lasting and it gives you, makes you happy for life. So, you know, you and I know it's a good investment. Mm-hmm. But for people who don't have the cash or having a hard time putting food on the table, they should be able to have them too, I think.
Yeah, but I mean, if you sold the Hitachi Magic Wand at $28, I don't know that if you could keep the lights on.
Well, but that's probably true. So maybe what they should do is they should at least have, maybe even have like a little lottery. People have to write a question, write in about why it is what they expect to get it from and how important it is to have it, or some other interesting thing about their sexuality, and then you draw three every month from that name. I don't know.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
I do. I like that idea.
It's just the kind of thing that I like to think about when I can.
So we're going to take another commercial break. I actually didn't know that you had a hand in Babeland. But I wanted to ask you.
Many people did not.
Yeah, but I know you also were instrumental in the opening of Feel More, which is Nina Joyner's sex shop by and for people of color in Oakland. Mm-hmm. So your legacy is even more expansive than beyond the brand of Good Vibrations. And I want to touch on that next.
Okay.
So stay with us, audience. Don't go anywhere. More with Joni Blank when we return. Latex gloves, leather cuffs, nipple clamps. Some things are just better in twos. That's why the Pleasure Chest is celebrating the power of two with their annual BOGO sale. Buy one, get one half off on all vibrating toys. Maybe you're dying to try the new rechargeable magic wand, but also want something travel-sized. Maybe you and your BFF are in the market for new vibes. Or maybe you want to explore a new kind of sensation for half the price. Any way you slice it, two is better than one. So don't agonize over buzzy versus rumbly, rabbit versus slimline, or internal versus external. Get a taste of everything with the Pleasure Chest's only sale of the year in each of their stores nationwide for the whole month of July. Not able to make it to one of their locations in New York, LA, or Chicago? PleasureChest.com is offering free shipping all month long on every order. You can also use the code Tristan at checkout year-round for a free massage candle with every purchase.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I am talking with Joni Blank, the founder of Good Vibrations. And before the break, she had mentioned that she also invested in Babeland, which is another sort of boutique chain of stores that have multiple locations across the country. And I know she was a fairy godmother to Nina Joyner's store, Feel More, in Oakland. How did that come about? How did you get connected with Nina?
Actually, Nina called the building that I live in. For some reason or other, she got Swan's Market co-housing, which is in the Swan's Market. That's the name of this historic market hall that we're living inside, because there are some commercial spaces here too. And she she was looking around. I think I met her walking out in the courtyard, and she was looking at some of these commercial spaces. And I said, hi. She said, I'm thinking about, you know, seeing what commercial space is available for here for business. She was very hesitant. She actually, I wouldn't have remembered this, but she was at my birthday party last night, and she reported it to everybody. So I'm glad, because now I remember the story, at least for the next few minutes. So she came, and she said, I kept saying, what kind of a, what are you planning to do here? What would you be selling? And she said, sex toys. Something very quietly. Mm-hmm. And I said, I hope it's okay to tell you this kind of thing. I said, do you know who I am? I said, do you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? I'm sure I didn't say it like that. I don't say it like that, but that's the way she presented it. Made a good line. And I told her it was good vibrations, and she said she was, what? So we ended up having coffee once, and we talked, and we walked around a little bit, and we became friends a little bit. And then I guess anything I would have said to her at that point would have been sort of advisory, and also appreciative of her spunk and that she was doing it. I wasn't terribly confident of her skill as a businesswoman. I don't know whether that's justified or not. That'll all come out in the woods. But she's done a really good job of promoting herself as being local. And she doesn't just serve people of color, but she has, it's true that her place is a very comfortable place for people of color to stop, men and women both. So her store is really nice. So anyway, one of the times we met, I remember we were sitting in a great big, hotel lobby, which had a great coffee bar on the coffee shop there. We were drinking some coffee, and she was consulting me about where should she go to get some money to get started. So I asked her how much she needed. I asked her if she had talked to the Small Business Administration and any of the local sources that are, you know, encouraging small businesses to start in Oakland. And she had done some of that. And then I said, well, have you thought about letting me give you a loan? She said, her eyes got really big, and she said, really? You would do that? I said, yeah, I like to lend money to things I believe in happening. So we talked for a while, and she said she wanted, how much would you like to have in a loan if you could have whatever you wanted? And she said, well, $7,000. And I said, would twice that make you really happy? And she said, yes. I think I gave her a little less than $15,000 anyway.
Wow.
And I have to tell you, getting it paid back was a horrible mess. Eventually, she did all pay it back with taxes, but she was terrible. She doesn't understand amortized loans. She wrote up her own loan documents, like I always make my people I'm loaning money to, and they were incomprehensible. And so I actually have an outstanding time with her. She owes me a confession when I'm going to come and explain how amortized loans work.
You pull no punches, Joni.
What?
You give zero fucks now. I talked about this in the opener that, you know, I've wanted to book you on my show since you were at CatalystCon that year and you mm-hmm. were interviewed by Lynn Camella. You were the
right.
keynote. We had a great time. I was like, I've definitely got to have you on my show.
Did you know that never got recorded? I was so sorry.
No. That was incredible.
The Catalyst talk was the Catalyst system. The hotel or whoever was supposed to do it wasn't working. So Lynn tried to record it on her phone, and then she lost her phone within a couple of days before she had had a chance to listen to it.
Wow. Well, it was a great talk, and I was glad to be there, and people really, like, ate you up.
Yep.
And
that was great.
But so then, you know, days ago, you went on Facebook and told everyone that you had cancer and that you were
mm-hmm.
dying.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, there's a lot. First of all, you did it with such honesty and grace. You have, I feel like, once again, modeled a behavior that we all need to see and need to learn, because it was quite moving, and you were very clear about your boundaries of, like, please do not comment on this and tell me I should be on some herbal regimen.
Yeah.
Like, no, fuck that. No, no, which I loved. You were like, this is what I want. Now. I want hugs and I want love and I want visitors. And this is what I don't want. Advice, referrals to doctors, and your you know, weird medical shit.
It's not weird. It's just not mine.
But I'm wondering now, I mean, this wouldn't even be a question that I would have asked you before, but now I feel like I have to, which is, what do you want people to remember you for?
I haven't heard anybody talk about any remembrances of me that I don't want. So I have to tell you something. The biggest thing that is driving my whole attitude towards dying for myself is six words that I heard coming from my father, I believe, repeatedly, although my sister with a prodigious memory says she never heard our father say that. I'm sure that he said on many occasions about after death, what do you want us to do with your 500 maps? How do you think we might spend our inheritance if we have any? Do you want to be buried or cremated? All those questions? Same six words. I don't care. I'll be dead. So I keep telling that to people. So to think about what I want to be remembered for, I remember whatever you remember. It doesn't matter to me because I'll be dead. I mean, even if you hated me, go for it. You can hate me till the cows come home. I don't care. So what do you remember? I don't know. I guess I could wish, I want to be forgiven for when I've hurt people without realizing it, of course. I want people to know that, that I'd like to get to have their forgiveness if they are able to offer that to me. And by the same token, I want to generically offer forgiveness forgiveness to those who I've hurt, and the other way around, whatever the other way around was, I want to receive their forgiveness for any way that I've hurt them. And I want them to accept my forgiveness for any ways. I've got them mixed up, but you can figure it out.
I know what you're saying. And do you feel like you have unfinished business with the world, with yourself, with your loved ones, with your sexuality, like whatever? Is there anything?
I have to tell you, at this particular moment, I'm feeling really proud that I have passed on enough of my Joniness to people that they'll do what they can to prevent the next catastrophe. But, is there anything like I say, I always wanted to do blah, 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 and now I'm not going to get a chance to do what I would have liked to do if I could have continued? I'm way, way too much of a wait-and-see person. We don't have a clue. I mean, I was saying one of the nice things about dying within the next 6 months or so is pretty likely that I will miss the beginning of World War III. It's almost sure that I will not be around if, God forbid, Trump gets elected president. And it's also true that I won't be around when the next great scientific discovery finds a magic pill that prevents pancreatic or any other kind of cancer. But it's not, it still doesn't feel like I will miss those things because I won't be conscious to miss them. So there's my philosophy.
Okay, and you won't be conscious because I also said in the opening, you're a Jewish Unitarian Universalist.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you feel like you are going somewhere once you die?
No, where? My body is going to the mortuary to get burned. That's it. I'm gone then. Except in the memories of the people who knew me or knew about me. And I'm very pleased with what I understand to be the body of information that those people who know me had or have about me. I don't feel like there's anybody who's passing around bad words. Like, Joni was a liar. She never told the truth, you know. There's none of that stuff going on around that with me. And I'm proud. I'm lucky, too. I'm lucky that I lived a privileged enough life to not have some of the things that really just knocked people over no matter what. I'm very privileged.
And we also are going to have your, we still have your books. And your papers are going to Cornell, to the Sexuality Library at Cornell.
Yep, I already have.
Which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take another break. You're awfully cheery about this whole thing. Am I not going to get you to be like wistful or romantic or even like sob a little?
I'm afraid not. You can try, but I'll probably just give you a smart ass answer.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Hold that thought. Let's take a break. And coming up, apparently I've issued some sort of challenge now, and I'm going to go head to head with Joni Blank and see if we can break her down. No, I'm kidding. We're just going to talk more about her life, her amazing life. So stay with us. Latex gloves. Leather cuffs, nipple clamps. Some things are just better in twos. That's why the Pleasure Chest is celebrating the power of two with their annual BOGO sale. Buy one, get one half off on all vibrating toys. Maybe you're dying to try the new rechargeable magic wand, but also want something travel-sized. Maybe you and your BFF are in the market for new vibes. Or maybe you want to explore a new kind of sensation for half the price. Any way you slice it, two is better than one. So don't agonize over buzzy versus rumbly, rabbit versus slimline, or internal versus external. Get a taste of everything with the Pleasure Chest's only sale of the year in each of their stores nationwide for the whole month of July. Not able to make it to one of their locations in New York, LA, or Chicago? PleasureChest.com is offering free shipping all month long on every order. You can also use the code Tristan at checkout year-round for a free massage candle with every purchase.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I am talking to the founder of Good Vibrations, Joni Blank. Joni, I teased you before the break about being so upbeat about dying. But I wonder, I mean, do you feel like surrounded by love and appreciation? And you just had this birthday party last night. And, you know, I always feel like people should celebrate people like while they're still alive. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want the best memorial service ever to happen like after I'm gone. I want to see that.
Now, mine is going to be very soon for that reason. 30th of July.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. So
I might live 6 or 7 more months.
Okay. So, but people are going to gather and mm-hmm. and toast and roast you, right?
Yep. They did at my party last night, but they're going to be way more, the people. As a matter of fact, we're worried about the venue. My lovely Unitarian church where I want to be only holds 300 people, and everybody's saying they're going to be 500 there.
Oh. Well, is there like outside space?
Well, it's kind of late to rent spaces for big things. Oh, outdoors, you mean?
Yeah, outdoors, yeah.
I didn't even think of that. Good idea with amplification and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, good thought. I have an idea. I know who to ask.
Okay, good. What's your favorite book that you've written? Tell me that. Because, you know, the first book that I ever read by you was The Guide to Vibrators. You had this slim little Good Vibrations Guide to Vibrators.
The one I hand-lettered the first time.
Yes, I still have that one.
Oh, it's a collector's item. Hold on to it.
Okay.
Can I give an answer to your question before the break you asked about why am I so cheery?
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't feel I really answered that.
Okay.
Here's my answer. So being a pretty intuitive person and pretty understanding a lot of psychological processes, it occurred to me that all my cheeriness in the first few days might be covering up for anger or fear or sadness or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I consulted some of my very smart friends, several of them psychotherapists, and said to them, am I doing that? And they, to a person, they said, no, you're just being Joni. So I trusted them.
That's good. That's good. You should.
And so no tears. I've had tears two times. One of them was when I had this enormous frustration because for 3.5 days I could not communicate with my primary doctor. This was during the diagnosis period. I just couldn't communicate with her either way, by email or phone or text or anyway, or going to her house and knocking on the door. And I started crying then. Because of the frustration, not having my diagnosis. And the other time was last night when my daughter said some lovely things about me.
What did she say?
I don't remember. They made me weepy. It was great. A lot of stuff made me tearish last night. It was great. Lots of people spoke up. I didn't make any plans for whom or ask anybody to talk at all. One person I did near the end, I said, come on, Erica, you look like you want to say something. But other than that, I had nothing to do with it. People just volunteered, and it was just the right group of people.
Mm.
It was great. People were, there were a couple of people who had to leave early, and they looked so sad. They were going to miss it. I didn't miss much. Okay, so that's the end of that. Why I'm so cheery, I don't know. Cheery works for me now. It's not because I'm smoking a lot of marijuana, because I'm not. I'm just testing out a little bit of edibles, and so far they don't seem to be working.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. We have to get you hooked up with Ashley Manta, who's like the expert on cannabis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to come to me because I don't
Yeah,
wanna.
Of course. Of course.
All right. Thank you. Unfortunately, unfortunately, marijuana reacts differently in different bodies, and certain ones can be certainly wonderful for certain things on one person and not so great on the next.
I am totally 100% right there with you. 100%.
And I'm not much of a, I'm not a traditional user at all. I haven't used any at all probably for 45 years. So we'll see.
Okay. So I asked you before about your favorite book that you've written.
You know, none of my books are really books, but you sit down and write, you know, the book you read, Good Vibrations, I sat down and I wrote that out of my head, okay, and what I knew about vibrators, and I wrote it in a few days, a few hours, because it's like a little, you know, it's little.
I know, but if you're like a baby dyke and you don't know anything about vibrators, it's very useful, Joni.
That's the idea. It's supposed to be like that. And then I did, shortly after that, I did I Am My Lover, which is a group of photographs of women masturbating, and they're writing about their masturbation. So I didn't write anything in there except the introduction.
But you put that all together.
I put it together. It was a good project.
You created space for that.
Yeah, and it's absolutely worthless now. I have several boxes of them in my basement. Nobody cares about black and white still pictures of women masturbating because they can get black and white color still movie all
hardcore
on the internet for free.
Yeah.
But for people who like it, it's a collector's item. It's fun. And we had three males. That project was delayed by the fact that I couldn't decide whether I had to have all female photographers, and then I decided to have three men and three women, which was a good idea. Different styles and made it interesting.
And so did you at first think you wanted to do all women photographers?
Well, I considered that. I was also thinking of the subjects, maybe the subjects would be more comfortable with women photographers.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out fine, and each photographer ended up choosing his or her subjects on his own, and I liked the mixture. Because it was just the basic difference in the eye of the photographer. The women wrote how their stuff that they wrote out was regardless of the... Nobody had any problem with it either way. But then I did... my first four books were... Well, Good Vibrations was one of them, but then the three playbooks that I did, and they were just you know, they're just like little workbooks. They just came out of my head. And I had to sort of go a different way with the children's one. The men's and women's ones are pretty similar.
What about Femalia? Because I just saw that recently.
Femalia is pretty special, isn't it? Yes.
Yes. You know where I was? I was at the Center for Sex Positive Culture in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
I was in the library and it was like sort of on display, you know, like everything's in the stacks, just like a regular library. But then there's this one table with like, you know, things that you could pick up and Femalia was one of them.
Yay. Well, it's published again by Last Gasp. Down There Press doesn't exist anymore, really.
Right.
So Last Gasp picked it up, and based on the royalties, they're not selling very many.
But it's still such an incredible book.
Yeah. Now, the first time that book was published by Down There Press, the photographers got made out like band. I mean, they didn't get super rich, but they all were get well paid for their royalties because like 60,000 copies of those books sold.
Wow.
For years.
Wow. Back then, that's a lot.
Yeah. And I didn't get anything because it was considered to be a work for hire for me. Last Gap did it, the photographers agreed to divide the royalties with me, and so they were divided in five instead of by four.
Okay, that's better. That's a better deal.
So there's no money. I mean, I think I've gotten, in a year and a half, I think I've gotten $64 from them or something. Sales are not good.
It's a beautiful book, though. People should get it if they can still get it. They still can get it, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Last Gasp is the name of the, it was out of, they had a lag between when the last print ran out and the new print came in, but they are available now again. I made them charge the same price that they were charged for then. No, not allowed to go up over the 1980s prices or whatever year that was. So I have a couple of blogs. Oh, here's something that maybe you or somebody in your audience could consider doing. I have a couple of blogs that I would really like to see going, but I have one possible person who would be willing to maintain them. One of them is called Vulvart, with a capital A in the middle. And it's a Tumblr. And we used to put up two or three images every week for a while, we being myself and a woman named, her name is gone. She did a book similar to... a female you called I'll Show You Mine. She's
I remember that book, yes.
She's from Victoria, British Columbia. Pink
yes.
book. Hard to read title. Anyway, she and I floated around on the internet. She mostly hung around at Etsy, and I mostly hung around in Google Images. And we put up all kinds of images of art featuring the vulva. So if you haven't seen it, you should look at it, and you should think about how we could maintain it and make it into a little better, probably using some different software to put it into a real, like an art gallery, online art gallery form.
Mm. Who's doing it now? What is it doing now? It's just sort of hanging out?
It's nothing. It's sitting there.
Okay.
And it has been for quite some time because I'm embarrassed. I can't remember her name, but the woman I was working with on it, I finally met her, and she's a full-time grad student now, and she's been, her mind is elsewhere, so she hasn't been able to put pictures up there lately. But I think it's fun. Have you ever looked at it?
No, I want to go see it right now.
Oh, you'll go see it. While you're in the Tumblr world, check out another one, which is a really big interest in mine. One of the things I'm doing with this time that I know I'm going to die soon, but that I'm alive, is I'm handing off my projects right and left to specific people. And initially I told my friend David Steinberg that I was going to kind of, you know, as long as I'm alive, I'm still going to be available to answer questions and stuff. And he said, no, no, no. And I actually said, no, 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 myself. No, the whole point is I want to pass it away and give it away.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I'm still alive is not a reason to try to involve me. And so if anybody calls for a consultation, I'll say, go get it from somebody else.
And so tell me what some of these projects are that you're handing off.
Since you're going to live only a few months, you can say they're not allowed to start working on them until after you die. Then you won't mm-hmm. get involved.
Exactly.
That was very sweet.
So what are they? Yeah.
The other one is a Tumblr, but it needs to be in a different form as a Tumblr. One of my big sadnesses is that I'm dying and still people are still struggling with trying to get human beings, male and female, to call women's genitals their vulvas. the visible part of their genitals, their vulvas, and to say words like clitoris. But mostly to stop saying vagina when you don't mean vagina and you don't have a speculum.
This happens every day. You could find countless instances of this every day.
Starting with Eve Ensler and going right down to the street. And they have, no, I totally understand why Eve Ensler called her show The Vagina Monologues, because of the language, you know, because that's the word people know. They don't even know what vulva means, right?
Right, right, right.
So anyway, I highly recommend, now there's a person that you may not realize was interested in this too. Her name is Harriet Lerner. She wrote a whole bunch of books in the 80s, I think, basically feminist psychology books, and they were known by The Dance of This and The Dance of That, The Dance of Anger, The Dance of Intimacy, The Dance of whatever. Her name is Harriet Lerner. She's wonderful. I think she does public speaking and everything, too. And she has been on a kick about this, how we, she says, when we don't teach our girls that their genitals are their clitorises and explain about their vulvas, we are doing psychic genital mutilation. That's her word.
Wow.
And she has been pushing this in newspaper articles and editorials in the New York Times and, you know, stuff like this for years. And she's getting really tired because there's absolutely no impact.
Okay, Joni. Well,
so,
we've got to wrap up, but I want to make you a promise, okay?
Okay.
Because what I hear you saying is there's a call here for radical vulva activism. Am I right?
I don't care what you call it. I want an art gallery.
Okay. Well, I think
what we have to take up,
people in the industry, people in the listenership audience, have to take this up. That this is part of your unfinished business. That you wish everyone would know their vulvas, name their vulvas as they should be named, and be comfortable
and
with their bodies. Right?
Unless you really mean vagina.
And don't say vagina unless you really mean
vagina.
Okay. So I'm gonna just put that out there for everyone. This is how we can honor Joni, both now when she's still here and when she's gone, is to continue this work around something so simple yet so critically important, which is the vulva.
Thank you. And the blog is called V is for Vulva, and that will introduce anybody to this issue. It's mostly the writings of Harriet Lerner with her permission. I just put a few, it's not graphic, it's mostly text, but you can read a few pages of it and really get what it's about.
Okay, V is for Vulva.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I know that it's like day to day, and you could have woken up today and had a really bad day, and this maybe wouldn't have happened.
Only until before I get to my meds.
I just really...
I'm on hospice.
I really appreciate you
they don't
while on hospice,
day.
Taking the time.
Yeah. It's been fun chatting with you very much, Tristan. Bye.
Thanks, Joni. Well, I usually do my wrap-up here where I, like, thank everyone and do the credits, but we've run out of time, and I sort of want us to just kind of hear the echo of Joni's voice and say, you know, life is short, so I'll see you next week on the air. And part of Joni's mission, and I know she'd want you to do this too, is to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.